Everyone, this is Tim Pichot, the Liberty Advisor, joined with John Snyson, the Economic Truth, and we are live on location at the house of Ernest Hancock. And today, we wanted to have a video on the case for no more recessions. And before a lot of you comment that, you know, what idiots we must be, because obviously everything is in a bubble, and what do you mean, no more recessions ever? That's the dumbest thing I ever heard. Because, you know, that's probably what, you know, the first thing someone's going to say when they, and probably the first thing I would say, too, if I saw that as a headline.
Well, yeah, of course, that makes sense that, yeah, like, there's not going to be any recession, you know, any economic downturn. There's not going to be demographic cliffs, you know, like, people getting, like, bigger populations that are getting, you know, in retirement and so on, that creates distortions in the markets. It's like, it's going to happen in some kind of way, but what we're trying to talk about here is actually, like, how the Federal Reserve and others believe that, you know, they could create a perpetual growth economy that's not going to ever slow down, and no, everything is going to be fine, you know, with the inflation and everything, because they believe that they can control every single little aspect, right? So that's what we're going to talk about and go into detail on, you know, how they believe that this is totally possible.
Well, the Congressional Budget Office, the CBO, actually, according to their projections, actually don't even forecast another recession in the next 10 years. But first, I think it's important to talk about what a recession actually is. So if you look at the actual technical definition, it's just having two negative quarters of two negative GDP prints. And to do that, though, and where we kind of get into the crux of, you know, no more recessions ever, is the fact that that GDP number can be gamed, and it's gamed in many different ways. I know, for instance, back when we first started bombing Libya, I mean, I forgot, you know, whether it was 2013 or 2014, I know that there was things with the GDP print back then, where all of a sudden, okay, you know, we need to go print up $500 trillion to go bomb these people over there. Well, then now that's $500 trillion that gets added to the GDP. I don't think GDP is even a good measure to begin with. And then the numbers are also then, the GDP numbers are then distorted by the inflation numbers. So if you have, let's say GDP was legitimately, let's say it was, I mean, right now what they say it's 1.9, let's call it 2%. So GDP is 2%, but then let's say inflation was really 4%. That, which is not, I know, an astronomical number here, then the actual GDP would then be negative 2. However, if you are then able to distort the inflation number, and let's say your inflation is 1 and the economy is growing at 2.9, then you subtract that, and that's how you get to arrive at the current number that we have, 1.9. So that is a number that can be gamed, that is a number that can be rigged.
Yeah, of course it is. And when you took it, like, I actually took a look at the Canadian economy and how we calculate our CPI, for example. And, you know, I was curious because I saw M2, M3 was going up, you know, I believe it was as much as almost 8 or 9% a year.
Do you want to maybe explain what M1 and M2?
Yeah, so M0, for example, is cash and coins in circulation. Now, of course, they added plus central bank reserves for the bank, which is BS. That's not even M0. Then you have M1, which is, you know, your checking account, and I believe there's money market accounts in that, if I'm not mistaken, plus the M0, of course. Then you got M2. Now you're adding in, you know, all the debt, you know, that's accumulated as well. And, of course, in the United States, they don't even have M3, which is just complete total money supply.
Well, we used to. Then, of course, you know, it was too hard for them to keep track of the number, even though it's something that can easily be, you know, ascertained. And, guys like John Williams over at Shadow Stats, that they keep track of these numbers for us. Sorry, continue.
Yeah, just using, you know, old ways of calculating, which makes sense. It's just that they manipulate these numbers to make them look like way better than they are. But yeah, and I'm going to continue on the Canadian case, which I found out that I looked at the CPI, the you know, how they call it weighting. So, like, how much percentage they weigh it as.
Consumer price index.
Yeah, the consumer price index. And they actually take in, you know, account what you use on different things. And housing, of course, and total housing costs was in there. And then in Canada, of course, that was about 25.8% of a person's income. Well, if you go and look at 50% of the population in Toronto and Vancouver, that's where most of the population in Canada lives. Now you were looking at that number being 75.5 to 79, depending on, you know, where you work. I believe Vancouver was 79. I think it's at 80 right now, 80-something in Vancouver. But they have the calculation at 25. Even actually the average, if you just took an average, you didn't even care about the, you know, weighting the population, you just took the average of every single province, you would still be at 30. So they're like 5% off already the way they calculated their inflation right there. And then, of course, like 50% of the population has like 75 to almost 80% instead of 25. Now, there's no distortion there. So this is like how they create their biggest, you know, fakeness of the economy is by manipulating these numbers that everybody believe that are real. And they use these numbers to then say that, oh, yeah, there's no recession out there. You know, there's no problem. There's no inflation. If you did take a look at, you know, inflation, and this is also in the United States and other places, the inflation actually is, you know, a lot higher because the inflation didn't, you know, go into the real economy too much. It actually ended up in assets, you know, in the stock markets and mostly in the real estate markets.
Yeah, financial assets. So if you take a look at, you know, financial assets, that's where the true inflation went. But unfortunately, what, maybe 5, 10% of people have enough actual assets in those types of vehicles to really make a difference. So, I mean, the stock market being at an all-time high, which I'm not sure if it is right now. I know yesterday it was. Mm-hmm. But, you know, let's assume it's right around the all-time high right now. You know, that doesn't mean anything for probably a good 90% of Americans and probably 99% of people around the world, because Americans, even the poorest Americans, are still probably in the top 1% worldwide when it comes to incomes. But when it comes back to all these numbers, if you can distort what the actual GDP number is, and then you can distort what the inflation number is, you can technically game yourself to a system where you never have a technical recession again. However, what's happening is, let's say, you know, every 10 years, if you are a retiree, you know, the cost of everything you need to buy doubles, you know, especially things like home health care, all that stuff is not really factored into CPI, which is why John and I did a report on, GE, when they had one of their subsidiaries called Genworth that got in trouble over long-term care. I mean, a lot of times it's not things you actually spend money on that they rig into these numbers. Or, you know, let's say, you know, you used to buy a box of cereal, and now all of a sudden now there's, you know, 4 ounces less in that cereal.
Or they would even replace it. Like, for example, they replaced steak with Spam, for example. They just, you know, take a high inflationary subject that, you know, people used to actually like and eat, but they can't eat it anymore. Now they got to go to, you know, fake meat, which is, Spam is basically nothing. But the inflation was so much lower. So they, I believe it's called the selection and deletion or something. I think that's what the technical term is, what they do, is when they take those out of the calculation.
Well, maybe, I think a substitution might be.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, substitution. That's exactly what it is. And so this is what they do. They try to manipulate it. And of course, the GDP numbers, you know, if we were to go and really look at what the GDP numbers were on different, you know, aspects of the economy, for example, in the United States, GDP in healthcare is massive. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean that everything is very good.
I mean, is it better off if, like, all of a sudden, like, your kids have to spend, you know, 10 times more to go to college than they did, you know, 20 years ago? And are we better off, if we hypothetically had to spend more at the gas tank, are we better off that, you know, all these different things that are really negatives, that are drains on our own personal economies? And so I just think GDP is a very bad measure. And it also doesn't take into account the debt that we need to get, I don't say need, but the debt that is required in order to get these GDP prints. So we had to go from $666 billion deficit underneath Barack Obama, drone bomber, I think is what Jeff Burke would call it, to now we're at almost $1 trillion, $989 billion. And the only reason it's only $989 billion is because they don't count a lot of stuff. So whenever these hurricanes or national disasters, natural disasters, which, you know, there's plenty of national disasters, yeah, that are going on, Freudian slip. Yeah. But whenever they do this, basically, what's going on is they don't count, okay, we needed to spend, you know, $100 billion on this natural disaster, or, okay, you know, California can't keep the lights on and we need to go pony up another $100 billion over there. All that stuff doesn't count. And so these are rigged numbers that if you actually were to back out the debt created, my job is a financial planner. And so if someone, let's say, was earning $100,000 a year, and next year they're earning $102,000 a year, except, you know, they brought their debt up from $50,000 to, you know, $150,000, I would say that's not a good thing. It's not a good trade-off to bring on that much more debt to get that tiny incremental gain in your own personal GDP.
You increased it a little bit, didn't you?
like Ernie right now would not be happy if we went and threw a rock through one of his windows. But Paul Krugman says that
creating some GDP right there. Here you go. You know, you need that riot. You need to destroy things, and war is great. You know, this is the insanity. I listened to an economics professor at the University of Winnipeg. He had a PhD in economics, but he was, saying that, you know. Do you remember what happened after, you know, the Great Depression? What really kickstarted the economy was a war. So he's literally like, saying that we should go and kill and murder a whole bunch of people in order to, you know, keep the system alive. And
complete propaganda. I mean, the father of propaganda, I'm trying to think of the guy's name, Edward Bernays. They used to be called the Department of War, and then they switched it to Department of Defense because they knew psychologically people would get behind defense a lot more than they would get behind war. I believe even that's right when they started really, really coming after Kanye West about a year ago, is when he then tweeted out a video that I think it's called Century of Yourself. It's not. I'm getting James Corbett's Century of the Slaving sort of mixed up with this, but that was a pretty hardcore video. And then they know that they've got a guy in Kanye that they know can reach across different types of people, and that's real information, real hardcore information that they don't want getting out. So I guess, you know, getting back to all the GDP rigging that's going on.
Yeah, well, so the thing is with GDP is that, you know, you're looking at economic activity, and as we said, you know, there's a lot of really bad economic activity that they counts for GDP, like the war industry, you know, bombing, murdering people all across the world. You got the health industry, you got the big pharma, you got the pharmaceutical industries, you know, that are part of GDP calculations. But these are really, you know, making people sicker, and, you know, people are getting unhealthy. That is not a very good thing, but yet, you know, the economy is great because this is happening, because the GDP is going up, because these companies can produce more weapons, or they could, you know, give them out more, you know, pharmaceutical drugs to everyone, or feed you with more crappy food. So it's like you're looking at a number, in my point of view, that, you know, you can say that, oh yeah, the economy is growing and everything, but really, like, what it is, it's just destroying society. Because you corrupted the money system, now you're corrupting society, and you have to do corruptible things like war and poisoning people, all the stuff that you need in order to, you know, prop up this fake system.
And a lot of research actually points to, it's actually when the war was over, and then you had all the troops coming home and then spending their money at home and then having babies. And that's actually what then helped stimulate the economy. It wasn't the act of war in itself. But, you know, when you've got, you know, a bunch of, you know, Jeffrey Epstein, who didn't kill himself, you got a bunch of, you know, people of that ilk, you know, running the show, you know, they like death and destruction, and they make money from death and destruction. They fund both sides of every war. And now we're getting a little bit, I guess, off the rails of the initial GDP talk. But if you're going to go bomb a bunch of people over in the Middle East, okay, great, you get to increase the GDP. But, you know, are we really better off? I mean, what resources do we have? Now we need to go bomb a bridge over there to go build it back.
We need the surveillance industry on top of that. Yeah. And you build these economies up, and then all these companies. It was interesting with Libya. I had my mom used to be married to a guy from Libya, and he was explaining to me that, like, when he went back to Libya after they bombed it, you know, there were mass amounts of U.S. corporations in there, you know, building up the country and doing these contracts and everything for the infrastructure that they totally demolished.
And it's even in the Podesta WikiLeaks, where it shows that Hillary Clinton, and actually my website went underneath a DDoS attack the day that I actually posted this, an old website, Libertarian Advisor, which right now is shelved. But I posted an article where they literally came out and said that this is an operation to steal Gaddafi's gold, because Gaddafi was going to have a gold-backed African dinar and try to build up Africa. And I'm not some, you know, gigantic Muammar Gaddafi fan. I mean, supposedly he's shot down that one plane that was carrying a bunch of Syracuse University students. And I'm from...
Yeah, he was a dictator. Like, I talked to this, again, this Libyan guy, and he told me it was a bad dictator, of course, but again, the problem was that, you know, they wanted...
Better than Hillary Clinton. No.
Well,
we saw, he died, I mean, and that whole nonsense. And the real story was that Gaddafi was basically going to wave at the white flag to surrender himself, and that's when they came in there and did a whole bunch of
But what nobody's actually asking for a question is, like, where is the gold that Libya had? You know, that was stuck at the Federal Reserve in New York, actually. And Libyan people, I don't think they have that back, Tim. I think it's, you know, sitting somewhere. It probably got transferred because when Gaddafi is gone, there's no leaders. So you could just screw everybody over.
And this can, we could go on for a while on this subject, because I know, like, we were funding groups even called, like, that were sympathetic to bin Laden, all sorts of stuff, like Benghazi, 9,000 rabbit holes. We could go on with that.
GDP increases right there.
Yeah, more GDP increases right there. But, you know, at the end of the day, we just wanted to, and if you guys are still watching this video right now, this is something that Josh started. Can you guys maybe comment QE Infinity? So if you want to do hashtag QE Infinity to let us know you guys are watching, it helps with the algorithm. And I know that, you know, for anyone that commented 2 seconds into the video, you know, you didn't really get the whole point, because you can have GDP getting better, but the average person living within that economy, their own personal economy is getting much, much worse, because now, you know, unless you're one of the top maybe 10% in America, you know, you're seeing, you know, the cost of everything else, you know, rise. You don't have assets necessarily that can go up in proportion with that. And so for maybe 90% of Americans, they're going to be squeezed out of this. And then when you've got nothing, nothing to lose, as something that Gerald Celente would talk about from time and time again. And then that's when, you know,
Chile, Lebanon, France, you know, like these riots are starting to happen everywhere. And when you go and really look at the deep underlying issues, you could usually tie it back to a monetary aspect in the economy, you know, high inflation or high taxes because, you know, caused by inflation or high deficit spending, a lot of debt in the government that they need to raise taxes. So we always can find a way to actually be able to push, put these, you know, riots out there in a perspective and actually see that, you know, it's all tying back to this monetary system, you know, this corrupt Ponzi scheme that they created.
It always ties back to the Fed. So we'll kick it off to John. He can let you know some places where you can find his works. If you guys, I wrote a book on this subject called How It's Rigged. It's available for free. You can either go to my website and get it, or you can text Liberty Advisor, one word, no space. So that's very important. And thank you for the person that figured out that if you put a space in there, it gives you to Liberty Mutual. But go to Liberty Advisor, and the number you're going to put in your phone is 71441. The text is Liberty Advisor. Then you'll be sent a free copy of my book. It's only 18 pages long, and I could have made it, you know, 200, but this is not really necessarily meant for you that already knows this information. It's meant for your friends, your family members, maybe that really annoying liberal who won't leave you alone about how great things are once originally I wrote the book to dispel everything that was going on with Barack Obama, and now I've got to, like, now I can use the same thing to dispel everything that's going on with Trump. And so it's just maddening that before, you know, all the, you know, conservatives love me. Now a lot of them don't like me because I'm, but, you know, my message has remained the same. It's not about, you know, what party is going to win. But anyways, thank you guys for watching. And John, can you let people know some places where you can find you, The Economic Truth?
Yeah, for sure. You can find me at theeconomictruth.org. That's where you actually find everything that I'm all about. I put it onto one webpage so you can see all my reports. You can click on a link to find all my charts and everything that I put together at Infogram. You can even buy my books directly off of my website now. I'm actually adding Bitcoin in 2 weeks from now as a payment.
Which is
pretty cool. So you can actually pay me in crypto now directly, and then you get shipped out my products. You can find some reports. I'm actually working on a gigantic report right now, probably going to be about 100 pages about the economy and trying to show people, you know, where the risks are in the economy, different aspects of that, so they can make their own decisions.
And I've gotten the sneak peek of this, and this thing is super intricate with all this interactive graphs where I'm like, how much time did it take you to make this? Because it was very, like, you know, Excel spreadsheet of putting things in to get the nice graphs, but it's like 100 pages of this. So John's like, hey, I sent you something, could you read it? And I was sitting by the pool thinking it was gonna be like 8 pages. I'm like, oh wait, it's 45. The next day I went to go look at it, it was like 56. So I'm like, all right, I better hurry up and review this before it gets to be like 100 pages. But no, it's all good stuff. And I know John and I are planning on maybe doing a webinar out there in the future where we're gonna have an actual presentation, not like one of these videos where we're just winging it. And we're here in Arizona on a beautiful day. I'm looking directly into the sun, which is why I've got the sunglasses on. So I know I'm going to hear that in the comments. But no, it's great being here live in person with John. I know you're going to be headed off to G. Edward Griffin's event coming up. By the time you guys see this, he'll probably already be there. So you guys can stream that at the Red Pill Expo. And And yeah, I'm sure you and Josh will be putting out some videos and doing some great stuff with Gio Griffin and all the other people that are over there. So any closing words?
Well, any closing words? You know, I think your hashtag QInfinity says it all. That's what's going to happen. Or it is just going to continue either, blatant, printing, not really printing of currency, just adding to the monetary supply to keep propping the system up. And then what they're going to do is just keep on manipulating it until there's nothing. And this is the thing, the trust is the key here. So when the trust breaks, it's going to be game over for even the US dollar. But I think what we're seeing now is the periphery, that are under the Federal Reserve System, all the central banks around the world, they are starting to slowly fail. You're starting to see a lot of bad economic activity where you see protests everywhere, but they're all coming from these currencies that are failing around the world. So you're going to see that, then you're going to see, of course, I believe the U.S. empire will be the last one, of course, to go, because they are, the backing of this whole Ponzi system.
Or speaking of trust, I did, and this is thanks, shout out to Etienne de la Boutier Squared, is that he showed us the other day the actual Social Security Trust Fund. If you guys type in George W. Bush Social Security Filing Cabinet, West Virginia, into your search engine, I'd recommend Presearch or Brave Browser or DuckDuckGo, screw Google. And what it will show you is that the trust fund is literally a filing cabinet that's not even very big. It's not even as tall as us. And it just has, some lock boxes on it. And that is the Social Security Trust Fund. It's just a lock box at the Office of Debt in West Virginia that's backed by IOUs, and the entire system is basically predicated on this. And so, anyways, we can go on for a while on this. I'm Tim Pichot. This is John Sneason of World Alternative Media, where find the truth.
Be the change.
Be the change.